That was good. Thank you, Carol and Karen. What a blessing. And certainly it is good to be back. And we had a wonderful trip down to the Florida Keys, first time we'd ever been there. And just a beautiful, beautiful place. And it's different. It's a different world, as I was telling my Sunday school class. It's kind of like when you go to Hawaii and they refer to the mainland. Well, they do the same thing in the Keys. They call this the mainland because the Keys are just islands out there connected by bridges, and just a great time, and exciting to see Christians and people down there excited about the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord. But it's always good to come back, and just a blessing to see your face. Glad that you're here, and we're excited certainly about what the Lord did using Brother Raymond and Brother Caleb Engel preached on Sunday night, Brother Raymond on Sunday morning, and appreciate them helping out. I know it was a blessing, but we're glad to be back. In Luke 17, we have a passage that talks obviously about thankfulness, and I want to preach a message this morning entitled Learning to Be Thankful. Father, I pray that you will help me to say what needs to be said this morning, and I pray that it will be something that will help each of us. God, we are not thankful enough for all that you've done. We're not even thankful to each other. And I pray you'll help us to learn to be thankful today. Please speak to our hearts. Use your word to convict, and use your word to teach, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not natural for us to be thankful. It doesn't just come naturally. And one of the good illustrations of that is your children. And when you were a child, you have to tell them. All right, Poindexter, tell them thank you. Doesn't matter what he received. It doesn't matter. You know, it could have been a cookie. It could have been a candy bar. Could have been a dollar bill. Whatever. Tell them thank you. You know, and you know, constantly having to remind your children to say thank you. All right, say thank you. Say thank you. Say thank you. Please and thank you, right? It just doesn't come natural. We have to be taught. And God knows that in His Word, I mean, God had to command us to be thankful. He had to tell us, and He had to give us examples and show us how we often fail at thankfulness. And so we have to learn to be thankful. The proper way, I think, he shows here in this passage, and we're going to go through this, to really look at thankfulness and how it has to be learned. It's something, again, it doesn't just come natural. In fact, it's kind of hard for us to say thank you. And it amazes me how difficult it is many times. And I think some of that's because of our pride, and because a thank you acknowledges that you needed somebody's help, maybe. You needed somebody to do something for you, and we never like to admit that we need anything. We never like to admit that, you know, well, you actually helped me. And it's a struggle for us. It's sad. And it shouldn't just be at this time of year. It should be every day. And it should be under every kind of circumstance. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, you want to know the will of God for your life? Oh, yes, preacher. I'm wanting to know what is God's will for my life. Be thankful. That is clearly God's will for your life. In everything, give thanks. Preacher one time always was thanking God. I mean, just everything that happened, he would thank God for it. And he was always thanking God for something. And one stormy morning, one of the members came up and said, all right. He said, well, there's nothing to be thankful for this morning. And the preacher looked at him and he said, oh yeah, he said, thank God it's not always like this. Amen. I mean, you can identify. You know, there's always something we can be thankful for. There's always something that we can look at God and say, God, you are so wonderful. Thank you for being my God and taking care of me. I want to just give you 2 points this morning. See, that'll encourage you. You can thank God for that. But a whole bunch of sub-points. Yeah, see, got you on that one. But the first point is the thankful ones. The thankful ones. And we're going through this passage of Scripture, and we're looking for the thankful ones. And here we come to verse 6 and verse 7 here. Let's go on to verse 7. Which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Okay, in other words, he's just plowed. He's just done his job. He's your servant, though. Which of you will say to him, all right, you go ahead and go eat your meal? And Jesus said, you don't do that. He says, and will not rather say unto him, verse 8, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. In other words, he's a servant, and he's going to do his job, but part of his job, are you listening? Part of the job is to serve the master his meal, and then he can eat. And so we're getting an idea here of someone who God is saying, okay, here's an example. This servant needs to be thankful. This servant is not one who is to be thanked. He is a servant. And the first thing I think about is, I am his servant. And the Bible says that I am bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Ye are bought with a price. And therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. I am not my own. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? If you're saved today, you're not your own either. We are His. And we are here to serve God. We are, you know, I remember when I first got saved, I started wondering, I wonder why God doesn't just take me to heaven. I wasn't asking Him to, but I just kind of wondered, why doesn't God just take us to heaven? Well, because God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to, and thank God, we can do that. Do you understand? Sad to say, in our Christian circles today, we've gotten the mindset, and somehow we get the idea that, well, they're sure fortunate to have me. Boy, that church is sure fortunate that I'm here. You know, God, you sure are fortunate that I'm here to serve. We're fortunate that we can serve. Amen. We're fortunate that He would use us. We're fortunate that we're not in hell today. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we should serve God. We're supposed to serve Him as a servant. And by the way, as a servant, we're not supposed to look for thanks from God. We're supposed to be the thankful ones. And that's exactly what this passage is all about. Verse 9, it says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Does he say, thank you so much for working in the field. Thank you so much for preparing my meal. No, that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. He's the servant. And Jesus says, I trow not. He doesn't thank him for doing what is his job. By the way, you know, one of the things we miss in verse 8 often is and he says, serve me till I have eaten and drunken. Watch this. And afterward, thou shalt eat and drink. Isn't that good? Hello? Don't you like to eat? Some of you look like you. Well, anyway. God takes care of us. God provides for us. Hey, this servant's not starving. This servant doesn't have to go out to the pig pen as the prodigal son did and scoop up whatever the pigs don't eat. This servant is taken good care of. This servant is provided for. This servant has food and has drink and has raiment and is being taken care of. This servant is certainly not one who is starving, who is suffering. He just is a servant. Hey, you know what? As a Christian, I've never starved or suffered or been without. My master has taken very good care of me. You know, the devil's, he's the master of a lot of people, and I watch his people, and I watch his servants, and they're not doing so hot. I watch a lot of the servants of Satan and those that are lost, and you say, well, they have money, and they're not doing so hot. Hey, God is our master. You know, He takes care of us. It's not God that should thank us. It's us that should thank God. It's us that should thank God that He sent His Son to die on a cross so that we could be bought by the precious blood of Jesus, so that we could be His. And then He takes care of us, and He provides for us, and He meets every need that we have. And what are we supposed to do? Well, he says here, we're supposed to do the things that are commanded. That's all. Verse 9, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Just do what he has commanded us. God's commands aren't hard to keep when we realize we're a servant. That's all. It's very interesting here. It says in verse 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our, circle in your Bible, duty to do. I thought about that word, unprofitable, and I kind of wondered about that. Look at Romans 3, verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10. And, of course, Romans 3 we use in soul winning with Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. And as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we use that so often. Don't miss what it's saying there. And in this little passage, Romans 3, starting in verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's us, folks. Okay, I want to remind you, Isaiah said our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's our good works. Okay, it says, there is none that understandeth, verse 11, there is none that seeketh after God. That's us. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become, what's the word? Unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And there's that word, unprofitable. And I thought about that, and I thought, what's that mean? I mean, understand, as a servant of God, I am a servant only by grace. I am a servant totally by grace. What do I deserve? I deserve hell. You and I are sinners. We sinned against God. We broke the law. We deserve hell. And the truth of the matter is, the fact that I'm not in hell today should be enough to make me say, thank God I can serve God. I mean, the fact that he would not only rescue me from hell, but he'll give me a home in heaven, and he lets me serve him. See, we often are looking for God to thank us. We should be the thankful ones. And you know, again, just think about this as far as being unprofitable, as it says here in verse 10, we are unprofitable servants. First of all, God doesn't need us. Do you understand? He created everything without us. I mean, Brother Korea, you weren't there during creation, were you? I mean, you're old, but you're not that old. All right? We have some creative people here in our congregation. But, Brother Tim, you do pretty well. People are commenting on the bulletin and all the good job, the creation that you did with the bulletin. But you didn't help create a sea, did you? No, I didn't think so. I mean, you're not even close to that old. Listen, he doesn't need us. Now, I said this the other day in preaching. He chooses to need us. As he chose to need different things in the scriptures, but he could do it himself. I mean, folks, he could call angels to take care of things, but he provides us a job. He provides us opportunity to serve him by grace. He could do it. He just doesn't. He chooses to let us do it. He's God. Every now and then I'll talk to someone, they say, well, you know, I thought if I do all these things for God, maybe he would take care of this for me. It isn't like that. God doesn't have to, in answer to you doing your duty, God doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to thank you or express his thanks to you. You're just doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. Understand, grace is not earned. It's his will. It's his choice to extend his grace to us. Grace is unmerited favor. It's not something I deserve. You say, well, God is sure fortunate to have me in this church. It isn't like that at all. It is you're fortunate not to be in hell. And you're fortunate that God would use you. You're fortunate that God would give you an opportunity to serve. I think about the nursery. I think about the bus ministry. I think about our master clubs. I think about the shepherd's ministry over in the school. I think about all the opportunities that we have to serve. And sometimes we get the attitude, God, if I do this, what are you going to do for me? Hey, He already did it for you. He already sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross to pay for your sin so you wouldn't have to go to heaven. Serving Him is because He's the Master. Serving Him is because, God, I love You and I thank You so much for what You've done for me. I want to serve You. Isn't it something how we get the idea sometimes? Oh, here he goes again, looking for somebody to serve. Don't you understand what an honor it is to serve God? We don't deserve what we have. God's grace is not earned. It is His will. And if I do something, He doesn't have to do anything for me because I did it. He already takes care of me. My God shall supply all your needs. He blesses me in so many ways, but He doesn't have to. Because I plowed in the field or because I... No. God doesn't owe us a thanks. We owe everything to Him. But you know, another thought about that is our best is still short of God's glory. Your very best. Oh, boy. You know, I plowed that field for you, God, and I did my best. But look at the rows. They're still crooked. Come on, folks. The problem in our society today is we're starting to think, again, we're back to thinking we're a whole lot better than we are. Again, I don't want you to go home and say, I'm no good, I'm rotten. We're not supposed to think too low of ourselves, but we're also not supposed to think too high of ourselves. Hey, wait a minute, I'm a child of the King. But let's remember the King. Amen. Let's not get excited about the child. Let's think about the King. Thank God I'm a child of the King. But I'm also a servant. And my very best is still falling short. Our very best. Again, we're talking about number one, the thankful ones. Who should be thankful? We have this idea that, you know, God owes all that. I've actually counseled people. I've heard them say, well, you know, God owes me this. I did this. God gave His Son. God owes us nothing. We owe Him everything. The Bible uses the word duty here in verse 10. We have done that which was our duty to do. And duty requires no thanks. Duty. Church attendance. Duty. Giving. Duty. Soul winning. Duty. Doing right. Duty. Having a good testimony. You know, we should thank Him for the privilege to be able to serve Him. You say, well, I don't think we ought to do it out of duty. I don't think you ought to do it out of duty either. But if that's all you got, do it out of duty. The reason ought to be, God, I love You. God, I love You. But if you're not there yet, do it out of duty. I know there were a lot of things as a new Christian that I did out of duty. Just because preacher said you're supposed to do it, I did it. I didn't understand it all. And certainly I didn't know how much I loved God. I didn't understand any of that as a new Christian. There were many things. Preacher preach, yell, scream, holler. And you know, I found myself going to the altar and getting right about this and getting right about this and getting right about this and all these different things. But you know, I'll be honest with you today. I love Him. I just love Him. And I love what He's done for me, and He saved me, and He's given me an opportunity. And I, you know, I suppose there are times, sometimes that I maybe get into that realm of doing duty just because it's duty, but most of the time it's, God, I want to please You. I'm the servant. Listen, understand that you're the servant. And you will realize that you should be the thankful one. Because the servant, he has his food given to him, his water given to him, his raiment given to him. He has his housing provided. He has everything, all his needs met. That's what my God has done for me. That's what He's done for me. And I just serve Him. Amen. We should be the thankful ones. Very, very clear in this passage of Scripture who is to be the thankful ones. And then number two is the ones they thank. Who should we thank? Well, number one, obviously, we need to thank God. And He gives us a story here in verses 11 through 19 that everybody knows, and we tell this story all the time. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. Here's 10 men that have a need. They're lepers. They're going to die. They stand afar off because that's the law. And they have to cry, unclean, unclean, because leprosy was transmitted so easily to people. And these men were outcasts. These men were destined to die of leprosy. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew who he was. They said, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of these people, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he thanked him. Just one. One out of ten. Often I wonder, Brother Larry, if there's one out of ten in an average scenario, maybe only one out of ten really are thankful for what God's done for you. One out of ten. That's a scary thought. I hope it's better than that. One out of ten. One out of ten. Now, were they healed? Well, the Bible says they were. All of them. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. But only one. He not only turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. That was a tough thing for him to do. The ones they thank, God. And you know, the sad thing is, often, it's very interesting, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, you know, I think some of them, they just didn't believe it. I've counseled enough as a pastor, people who are saved, but you have doubt all the time. Can I remind you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And those that have doubt all the time, I can't imagine how you could be very thankful. If you continually deal with assurance of salvation, I wonder and I question your thankfulness to God, because how could you be thankful for something you're not sure whether you have or not? Now you need to get it settled today. Get it settled. Believe the Word of God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get it settled, because I believe some of them might have looked down, and yes, the leprosy seemed to be gone, but in their own minds they thought, this can't be real. And I'm telling you, Christian, if that's your life right now, if that's what you're doing, and that's how you're living, then you are not giving God the thanks that God deserves, because salvation is done when you call upon the Lord. When you do what He said to do, it's done. You shall be saved. Notice how this one thanked him, though, and this is how we should thank God. First of all, he thanked him immediately. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He thanked him immediately. I mean, you know, when you get saved, you ought to be thankful for him saving you. I remember when I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart, I remember thanking him over and over. The next day I thanked him. I said, I can't believe this. You saved me, God. I'm new. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it was new because he saved me. Oh, listen, we ought to thank him immediately. We ought to thank him right away. I'm talking about after an answer to prayer. We ought to thank him. You know, I mean, why don't we do that? Why do we forget? I mean, here sits Al Morin in church today, and we prayed. We begged God. We anointed him with oil. Many fasted and begged God. Oh, God, please bring him back. But then he's back, and we sort of, now what? I'm still excited. I'm so excited about that. And you know, immediately. By the way, it wouldn't hurt to thank him before he answers the prayer. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? Because God is God, and he can do anything. Immediately. Notice he also thanked him loudly, with a loud voice. Why are we so shy when it comes to praising God? Why are we so afraid when it comes to singing songs of praise and thanks to God? Loudly. Well, we yell for our dumb ball team, won't we? We get all excited about that. We'll go to work and talk about our ball team. Oh, you know, our ball team. Yeah, this. we're real loud about that. But then when we have an opportunity to say something about Jesus, hey, He saved your soul.
Amen.
Immediately, loudly. How about this? Verse 16, He fell down on His face at His feet with humility. Recognizing, hey, You did everything, God. You did it all. You sought me. And You saved me. And You keep me. You do it all, God. Humility. He still does it all. Amen. Oh, when you sing the song Amazing Grace, how do you sing it with pride? It's grace. It's all grace. Immediately, loudly, with humility, and thanking Him for everything. 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 Oh, this man, he fell down on his face, giving and at his feet, giving Him thanks. And you know, why don't we thank God for everything? Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I've told you for years now about a dear lady years ago, our friends and my assistant pastor, Brother Ken Dehas, and his wife, Kathy, and how Kathy, every year she kept a list. Every year, starting the day after Thanksgiving, she'd start writing down what God gave them. You know the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One? She started writing her list. Every day, writing it down. Bag of potatoes, $10, gasoline, and just wrote it down. Every time God gave them something. Her list would be so long, it's unbelievable. Every service before Thanksgiving, we'd have a testimony time. She read her list. I heard her year after year reading her list and reading down that list, all the things God gave to her. Wait a second. In May, her husband was killed in a car wreck in front of our church. My best friend, my assistant pastor. What year was that, Brent? 1990, May of 1990, her husband was killed. And you've heard this. I've told this many times. But the thing I still can remember, Thanksgiving still came. And the service before Thanksgiving still came. And Kathy got out her list. I'll never forget it. Not a dry eye in the whole service. And Kathy started reading her list. Now, her husband was in heaven. Her son, 7 years old, didn't understand everything, and she was still trying to explain to him. But she stood and she read all that God had done from her list, though she lost her husband that same year. Now that's in everything, give thanks. In everything. See, why? Why are we so quick to forget all these benefits? In everything. Give thanks. Thanking God for all these different things. Thank God for the Bible. You know, when is the last time you thank God for this book? I mean, we have it. We have the Word of God. We can read it anytime we want. The psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What's he saying? Oh, God, I love your Word. Thank you for it. Thank you so much, God, for your Word. Years ago, a three-year-old girl was given a bronze medal for an act of courage. The story says that a two-year-old boy had fallen into a swimming pool and she literally grabbed him by the hair and held him out of the water until help was able to come and get him out. They interviewed her and she said this, again, as a little three-year-old would. She said, he doesn't like me now because it hurt when I pulled his hair. I'm going to tell you, the only reason you would not like the Bible today is because sometimes it does hurt just a little bit. But I mean, then here are the words of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. This is how we live. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for our salvation. You know, thank God. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You can be saved today. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I was saved after hearing a message on the second coming and driving about what should have been a 45-minute drive. It took me an hour and a half to 2 hours because I was under so much conviction and weeping and had to keep pulling off the side of the road. But finally getting to my home and falling down as a 17-year-old boy at my bed and begging God to come into my heart and save me. And I'm telling you, you know, thank God for that salvation. You say, you tell that story a lot. I don't ever want to forget. You ought to tell yours and tell it and repeat it over and over and over again. Thank God for your salvation. Thank God for your church. A church that believes the Bible is the Word of God. A church that preaches against sin. A church that loves people. Wow, don't forget the love of God and how that it can be expressed in through us. If we'll just let Him love through us, loving people and a church that meets needs and helps people. Thank God for your church. If you'd go down to the Florida Keys right now, you'll find a stretch of miles and miles of people who don't have a church like ours. You ought to thank God. Thank God for our church and a shepherd's ministry and an RU program and master clubs and a bus ministry and on and on. Thank God for our church. Thank God for your parents. I am so concerned about young people who don't thank God for their parents. You know, I think about our Christian school and some of our young people. Well, you know, if you only knew my parents. I know one thing about your parents. They're sacrificing to put you in a Christian school. And you need to get rid of your rebellious spirit and thank God for your parents. And you have food in your belly, and you have clothes on your back, and you ought to thank God for your parents. Even if your parents are unsaved. Some of you bus kids, you ought to thank God for your parents. Oh, if you only knew, you ought to thank God. What do you mean if I only knew? I had unsaved parents. I went off to Bible college and had unsaved parents. I do know. I understand. But I thank God for my parents. And thank God they got saved. Would you like your parents to get saved? I'll tell you this. They stand a better chance getting saved if you thank God for them and love them like you're supposed to. If you do right. Amen. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your country. Amen. I mean, you know, I'm pretty discouraged now. Hey, thank God for America. Thank God for it. You know, I know there's a whole bunch of people in America think we ought to go socialistic and even communistic. And people in those countries are trying to do everything they can to get here. I know. As I said on Wednesday night, we're walking down the coastline in the Keys and came upon a little raft. Not even as maybe about as long as the front part of the platform here. Just a little raft. And people floated from Cuba on that little raft, risked their lives to come to America. Now, I understand some people have wrong motives and all that kind of stuff. Many of the people, though, as I talked to them, I had to get out of the communistic Cuba. I wanted freedom. I'm just saying, folks, why? You know, we've got it so good in America. Every day it ought to be, God, thank you so much for this country. Thank you for America. Thank you for the opportunities that you've given us. A couple one time, they were starting out their day, and one of them said, well, I need to go pick up our unemployment check, and then I'm going to go get the check for the federal educational grant, and then I'm going to go pick up our food stamps, and what you need to do is you need to go to the free clinic and get your tests and pick up your free glasses at the health center, and then go to the welfare department and try to get an increase in our eligibility, and then we're going to all meet at 5 o'clock for a mass demonstration against the rotten establishment. That's where we live. That's kind of where we live, folks, to be honest with you. Hey, you know what? We have a wonderful country. We have the greatest country in all the world. And thank God for our country. Thank God for your spouse. Oh, if you only knew. Well, you married him. Don't blame me. I've counseled a lot of people about to get married, tried to talk them out of it. I'm serious. You know? Amen. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God. Thank God they, well, they're not what they ought to be. Well, how you doing? Amen. Thank God for your children. Amen. Thank God for your school. Thank God for your job. There's so many things we can thank God for. As I said a while ago, thank God for all the answered prayer. I mean, isn't it amazing how we beg God, oh, God, you got to do that, and then God does it, and we're like the nine. There should be so many people, you know, just over and over and over. Just, God, thank you so much for what you've done. Thank God. Thank God. And then the last thing as far as who we're to thank, and that is we need to be thankful to other people. Someone said this, nowadays the only place to find gratitude is in the dictionary. That's so true. So true. Just like this one cleansed leper thanked Jesus, we need to thank people immediately when they do something for us. Why aren't we thankful? Again, I think some of it's pride. Well, I don't want to admit that I needed. Why are you so proud? I've had God lay on my heart to do things for people and say, well, look, here, I'd like to give you this. Oh, no, I'm not going to take a handout. And I say, hey, wait a minute, God told me to do this for you. Don't you dare refuse something that God wants you to have. Why don't you be thankful for it instead of being so proud? Amen. And there's a whole bunch of people say, I'll take it. I'll take it, preacher. Call me. Immediately, when somebody does something for you, thank them. Not just words. Get you some little notes and thank them. Amen. I love to see it. And sometimes I'll go through and I'll look on the welcome center desk, and I'll look at some of the little yellow notes and little cards, and people will fill those out, and they'll say thank you for singing that special. That's good. You know, thank you for playing that special. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. That's how it ought to be. Immediately. I got something the other night I don't think has ever happened. I've coached basketball for many years. I don't know how many years. And the other night, on Friday night after our tournament, we had a tournament Thursday and Friday, and had a wonderful time, really. And one of our young men, one of our basketball players, called me up. I didn't get the call. I don't know why I didn't hear the phone ring. But anyway, I got a voicemail that said, Pastor, I just want to thank you for coaching me. All these years, many, many years of coaching. Many years. And that meant so much. You say, well, what? Oh, you just want a pat on the back. No, I just want people to do right. It means a lot to me, but it means more that somebody would think that way. Because that's how we should think. That's how we should. When somebody does something for you, thank them. Immediately and loudly. You know, not just words, but sending little cards and things and thank you notes and all of that. You know, every time when the church holds some kind of a party for us or something like that, and we'll get a huge amount of cards and with gift certificates or different things and money and different things like that. I mean, I open it up and look at it. My wife writes it down. And I mean, usually the next day or within a couple of days, unless something drastic has happened, you get a card. And because, why? Because we're thankful. Because we're thankful. We can't. I mean, I'm still amazed that anybody would ever do anything for me. I know me. You should be amazed. You should not take it for granted that people would ever do anything for you. You should not. Hey, teenager, you shouldn't say, well, my parents owe it to me. They don't owe you anything. We should be thankful. Hey, mom cooked you a meal. Why don't you thank her? Hey, mom cleans the house. Why don't you thank her? Dad goes to work. When's the last time you thanked your dad for going to work? Dad, I know you drive a lot of miles and you go to work. You get up early in the morning. Thanks, Dad. You buy my junk? Amen. Loudly. There ought to be all kinds of thankfulness going on today. And of course, thankfulness to others with humility, as I already said. You know, by the way, this is an amazing thing as far as Jesus here. And verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. The Bible makes sure we know he was a Samaritan. Because that's the Samaritans and Jews, it's kind of like the Cowboys and Indians. And that Samaritan bowed and thanked the Jew. Why? Because he received something. Honestly, if you do something for me, I don't think I deserve it. I don't sit around and think, well, because I'm the pastor, you should do. Never. I'm amazed every time anyone does anything. If I get one of those little yellow cards, even if it's from a little child, I think, wow, that's amazing to me. I get some of the most interesting pictures you've ever seen in your life. The other day, somebody, a little child, I can't remember who it was, they drew a picture, and I looked at it, and they said, I said, who is that? And they said, that's you. And I said, you know, I didn't recognize that because it has hair. I said, but you know what? That's a blessing that you think I do. Or you're blind, I'm not sure which. But, you know, we should not be so proud that we think anybody owes us anything. Yeah, but it's my birthday. If they give you a dollar, you ought to be thankful for it. Instead of, is that all you got? I remember our cousins, Dave's cousins, are my nephews and nieces when they were little. One Christmas, we were unwrapping presents and everything, and they were unique. And they're old now, so I can tell this story. But I'll never forget this. They unwrapped all the presents, and all of a sudden, one of them stood up and said, is that all we get from Nanny? And I'm just thinking, oh, that is just so wicked. But you know what? You ever find yourself being like that? Is that all I get? Is that all I get from God? Is that all you can give me? Anything is a blessing because of what we deserve. Let's bow our heads, please.